My friend Brad Cole, Illinois Municipal League Executive Director, our guest this morning, and in the studio.
Yeah, good to see you, Tom.
I think I would have worn something other than the pink tutu, but I think that
well,
it goes nice with the gray blazer.
Well, you look great, you sound great, and it's a pleasure to be here again.
The reason why I started that way is I wanted to take a minute and ask you, because I've been asking a lot of people that I know that are exposed to a lot of different ideas and people across the state this question. We had pandemic fatigue. What does pandemic fatigue become after fatigue when you mix in more anger? I don't know. One of my friends says frustration. Is that the word?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the fatigue and the frustration, and you can wrap it all up with just an overall anxiety.
And people make bad decisions when they're in that mental state.
Yeah,
and they're not even aware of it.
Right, because these are all emotional components to somebody's life, and I always say whenever you're making decisions based on emotion, you're going to make the wrong decision,
yeah,
or at least a bad decision.
Yeah, or a harsh decision, or do it in a bad way.
Right.
And I wonder, do you see that on the municipal level? What I'm hearing, for instance, and I think this is just wisdom, but I think there's also a little hypersensitivity to it, and I know your organization's been helping people. You know, and they're saying to me, we want to make sure we get this American Rescue Plan money right because we don't want the federal government knocking on our door in a year saying, give it back. And then we know people are making bad decisions because they're inside their bottle. They can't read the label. They don't know what's going on. And I wonder, have you seen this?
Yeah, a little bit. And, of course, we had a municipal election this spring, and so we've got some new people, new mayors, new aldermen, new council members, trustees, and they've more recently just been experiencing this, so they haven't really had the regular interaction with the public like we used to have at public meetings because sometimes they're still being held remotely. So yeah, it has been a challenge for local officials. On the American Rescue Plan Act, to that point, one of the things we're trying to do with the Municipal League is to collect the best practices and find out how people are using these dollars and making sure that they're using them appropriately. And we're putting together a survey. In fact, they were all due today or yesterday. And
put your headphones on.
And I think,
Let's take that subject. Just want to play this little bit for you. All right. What can you use it for? Keith Larkin, Jackson County. Talked to him yesterday morning. Chairperson. You know him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's one example because they know they can do that.
Right, and you can use it for reimbursable salaries, public safety costs, water and sewer infrastructure, broadband development, things like that. And so what we've asked people is tell us how you're using this, how you're planning to use this, and when you're planning to have it done. So far, we have more than 250 communities that have given us that information. We're going to publish it.
Right.
And we're going to tell people this is how we're using it, and these are the best ways to use it because – as we spoke earlier today and as we've spoken before, you know, we want to make sure our federal legislators, our members of Congress and our U.S. senators don't get bruised up or get embarrassed, and we don't want to be embarrassed, on how these dollars are spent. We've talked to Senator Durbin about that, and he has frequently he'll say, I don't want to see any Frisbee parks.
Don't embarrass me was the term he used on the air here.
Right. And so we're putting together how these dollars are being used. And so we can go back to Washington or to Springfield and say, when you entrust these dollars to local officials, when you don't encumber it with all these extra rules and regulations like the CARES Act got through the state, if you let local officials make the decisions, they can make good decisions.
Right now, the Frisbee Park lobbyist is calling Brad and upset that they were picked out to be flogged on this issue. So I'm waiting for your phone to go off.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, we probably should mention this is a change that you and I had a role in. The first round of assistance went to the state. It was frustrating. You couldn't see the money coming out. It was almost like they didn't want to give it to the communities where it was assigned. And then I spoke to the senator. You helped me with my information, and he's told me point blank that's one of the reasons why it is the way it is today, sending the money directly to the community.
Right. CARES Act went through the states across the country, and we saw particularly in Illinois how that got bogged down with red tape and bureaucracy and additional restrictions that were not on in place on the funds from the federal government. And actually, Senator Durbin attended the Illinois Municipal League Board of Directors meeting last Saturday in Chicago. And I mentioned that had it not been for him, we would not have been able to get the American Rescue Plan money directly to municipalities, bypassing the states. He stood up in front of that audience and said, had it not been for Tom Miller at WJPF Radio bringing this to my attention, and in some small part, me bringing it to your attention, that no one would have known. So it's a direct result of the good work you're doing here. And thanks go to Senator Durbin for making
listening.
That point. Yeah, and doing something about it.
He could have ignored me.
Yeah, but as you know, he got off the call with you and called the governor and said, what's going on? And then we got it sorted out.
And then the governor listens to all of his interviews now so he doesn't get a call from the senator. Want to say good morning this morning to the folks in the governor's office listening along. Thank you so much for being here. Means a lot to me. I kid you not. I think it's an honor.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's, you know, instead of, you know, they say squeaky wheel gets the grease. Yeah, there's some truth to that. You can be squeaky all that you want, but if you aren't articulate, then good luck.
Well, and your listeners listen because of the good information you share, and the people that you talk to and about listen because they want to know
what the other guy's saying.
They want to know what's being said. In some cases, it's what's being said about them.
Right. So, you know, maybe a high watermark for me because that was literally billions of dollars impact in Southern Illinois.
Tom, this is not an embellishment. I'm not here. We've been friends for a long time, so I don't need to kiss any part of your anatomy.
Right.
This is entirely because of the impact you had in talking with Senator Durbin, and because I could bring that information here to you, and then you followed up on it, and you discussed it, and enough other people were into it also. But your initiative to raise that at that high level truly is what happened. Now, obviously, Senator Durbin and a lot of other people had to make it happen. They had to do it. But you were like a dog on a bone with this
thing. That was the analogy I was going to use.
And truly, every municipality in Illinois and across the country benefited from that.
Well,
there is nothing but fact in that statement.
You just made my day, and I'm really thankful you brought that to my attention because I didn't know the Durbin was taking my name on the road. So I'll have to, when I speak to the senator, I have to thank him as well. So the effect was the money came right to the communities, and you are helping a clearinghouse of information for other communities so they get a sense of safety, because the last time you and I talked, and you said it was small and you thought it they would probably pick up, there were some communities that were so intimidated by the process, they weren't really leaping at the money because they were afraid of what's behind the curtain, and who can blame them?
Right, yeah. I mean, when you're worried about, well, what's going to happen if we don't do it right, or what are we going to have to go through if we try to do it right? And a number of communities were very hesitant, and you know, we made a lot of outreach, and a lot of other organizations made a lot of outreach. And I think there's less than a handful, really, that didn't end up taking the money. And in fact, this was a discussion point last night at the Southern Illinois Mayors Association. They had a meeting last night at Walker's Bluff, and there were mayors there from Vergennes and Craneville and Benton.
Oh, you saw my buddy Ron Mitchell, huh?
That's right. And Ron's been a good guy, a good friend for a long time. And from Heron and Salem, even Mount Carmel, and representatives from Anna. And so there were a lot of folks from all over the region. And
good place to take the temperature.
Yeah, and we were talking about this, and they were glad to be able to get the information and know what's happening and be able to use those dollars in their communities to help them recover.
Yeah, Ron and I were just recently talking, and it's interesting because they bring it up, the subject in Carbondale. He's talked to me. He says, you know, these are first responders, people in our town that worked through the pandemic. We need to help them. And Carbondale's having a similar subject discussion when it comes to potential hazard pay, $2,000 sliding scale for city workers in Carbondale who showed up every day during the early days of the pandemic.
Yeah, and I think they, in fact, might have just approved that, or they're going
Tuesday night.
Yeah,
I think. Or maybe last Tuesday night they were going to maybe talk about it. I don't know if they voted on it.
Yeah, I saw that. But at least that they were discussing it. So, yeah, a lot of communities are figuring that out.
And it's on their minds.
Yes.
And you heard Keith Larkin about payroll. I think this is something, you know, a lot of other people talking about as well. And then, of course, you heard the message from the Carbondale Police Department looking for jobs?
Yes.
How often have you heard that from police chiefs and mayors?
Well, every community is trying to find people to fill police officer positions.
Everyone.
Everyone. From north to south, east to west. And not just in Illinois, but particularly in Illinois, there is a massive shortage of police officers or candidates for police officers and even firefighters. I know that when I was in office, that we always had lots of people on the list. They were always testing. And, you know, it was one of the most coveted jobs people were wanting to get hired on in those positions. And now we're begging people. In fact, communities are trying to poach from other communities where they'll hire somebody on a lateral transfer, but then that just moves and shifts the burden where somebody else has to fill that same spot. It's a real problem across the state.
Okay, now let's move on to another subject. Maybe you heard it this morning on your way in. And marijuana and revenues for marijuana helping communities. I have not seen it. I mean, I hear the figures. The governor told me point blank the last time I talked to him about it. It's not about the money. It's not about the revenue. Talk a lot about it.
It's easy to say that when there's a lot of money coming in.
There's a lot of money coming
in. And, of course, the cannabis senior advisor for cannabis just announced she was leaving. Toy Hutchinson, former state senator, is going to the—
Toy. And I think, is it Evanston that's using the marijuana for reparations?
Yes, it is, the city of Evanston.
Because I talked to the city council member who put the idea forward. So.
Right. Daniel Biss is the mayor there, former state senator, ran for governor, you may recall. And, yeah, so there's a lot of money. The municipalities are getting a piece of that. They get a piece of the state tax that has to be used for interdiction and drug treatment and police-related activities. But there is a lot of money coming in otherwise locally for those communities that have dispensaries and then statewide. I can tell you that just about everybody is amazed. Now, some people will say they expected it to be this much.
Well, and there will be some people, you know, and one of those people would be right up the road, Mayor Mount Vernon, John Lewis.
John Lewis in Mount Vernon.
Former law enforcement agent. He'd be one of the first persons to say that to you because he says, I want to get that money out of the criminal thing and put it into the regular economy.
Right.
That, you know, different views on law enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, he's a retired master sergeant from the state police. He did this for a profession. I mean, he was in drug control and monitored that and as a police officer, state police officer. So, yeah, he saw it. And it's... You know, it's a huge thing right now. I mean, it is something that I didn't think we would have been talking about 10 years ago.
Never would have thought it.
But it's a lot of money coming in, and it's an industry that's going to be continuing to grow.
I like seeing the second level of effect. I talked to, and I think you may know him, his name's Jimmy, owns a little shop in Carbondale. Doesn't sell marijuana, but he does sell products that you can use marijuana, pipes,
right.
Bongs. But he's got lots of posters, stuff like this. And I stopped in to talk to him, meet him. You know, I wanted this to do this, you know, all my life. Now I finally can, right? He started his own place. There are other people that spin up around the other things, and those are the stories that I enjoy the most.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a lot of industry that is growing on the edges of this.
Right.
And supplying.
Don't always see it, though.
No, but, I mean, it is there, and you're starting to see more of those shops pop up in those communities where there are dispensaries and a lot of other things. And I think that that shows how versatile the economy is.
All right. We're going to run out of time, as I often do with Brad, if I don't get at this pretty quick. One, what's your evaluation? And you don't get to use the P word. You don't get to use the C word. Your evaluation of this year in Illinois on a municipal level, year two of the pandemic. I'll use the word. You don't get to use it anymore.
I won't.
How do you evaluate how we operated this year? Because I know you've come out and said, look, these remote meetings are a good thing, while other people feel it's a barrier for interaction, right? But you've said, look, at least we have this ability now, so we grew some. But what's your thoughts?
I'm going to use a different C word.
Yeah?
It's been complicated.
Yes.
It's been complicated. Communities and leaders, we've gone through a municipal election, but local officials have been trying to manage this meeting remotely, meeting in person, meeting the needs of their residents, understanding their budgets and where these revenues are coming from, the shift in brick-and-mortar sales to online sales. If the Illinois Municipal League had not worked with the Retail Merchants Association 3 years ago after the Wayfair case and gotten the law changed, when it did, we would have been in such a mess. But because of that, we were able, and it was not fortuitous. It just was luck.
But I'm telling you, I talked to Will Stevens. He says, I can't believe it. You know, I talked to another mayor. What's this line and where's this money coming from? You got those phone calls.
Yeah.
But there's an extra line when it comes to their revenue reimbursement from the state of Illinois. And people go, where's that? That's your online sales tax.
Right, this remote facilitator.
And they would have literally been up to their noses in it.
If we hadn't gotten that done, and the General Assembly did it, and the governor signed it, I don't know where we'd be. So it has been complicated because all the paradigms have been shifting. Nothing that we have been used to is the same, and nothing that is the same we're used to. It is very complicated right now.
You know, families talk about they have to deal with inflation. They're not the only ones. The Illinois Municipal League and all of its member cities, when it comes out to buying a gallon of gas for the truck that goes out and does the road repairs or the police car that patrols the community or any other cost, they see the community's price goes up too. The taxpayer's going to have inflation hit them twice.
The municipality is often the largest fuel purchaser in the city, the largest electricity purchaser in the city. And now today you're not going to need it unless this turns to snow and ice. But what about purchasing rock salt? What about all the things that are needed for the communities to be able to get through a winter or through a summer, any of the regular things? Inflation is going to hit the taxpayer through their pocketbook directly and through their local government through their taxes later.
And if you buy school lunches because the price of fertilizer, herbicide, and gasoline's gone up, the school lunch goes up. Knee bones connected to the shin bones, what I call that.
Everything is connected.
Right. Okay. So the spring session is coming. There's a lot of anticipation. I've got three real important items that I've been watching very closely, one of which is the unemployment trust fund. I've been told by money people this is the thing you should watch. When I talked to Andy Menar and Jay Hoffman, they both said, yep, you're probably right. There's some decisions. A lot of people watching that, but I think the spring session is going to be loaded with whatever they can get done before the upcoming midterms.
They're going to start January 4th, which is the earliest they'll have started ever, probably, and they're going to try to be done April 8th. They may have to come back at the end of May or sometime to try to get a budget done if they don't get that done in April. But there's going to be a lot of stuff packed into a very short period of time, and there are big issues out there.
Such as?
Well, there's still, the gaming bill still has to be signed. There could be some cleanup on that. There are still issues revolving around the criminal justice reform package and the discussion of qualified immunity.
We'll fix that, yes.
It's all these trailer bills, which for the layperson is just follow-up legislation to fix what we got wrong or left out the first time. But criminal justice reform is still out there. Hey, I don't want to shock you with an issue, but have you heard about the problems we have with pensions? That's not going away. Nothing. We're in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And locally, there have been successes, and we can talk about that another day, with the consolidation of local police and fire funds. We're already seeing millions of dollars of savings in the fire funds because of the consolidation. But we've got pension reform out there still. You got the state budget. There are a number of things. They're going to have to get a lot done in a short period of time.
The state of Illinois bailed out with federal money. Is that, if I just blurt that out, right, and put it on a bumper sticker, do you say yes or no?
I have to be pretty cautious about that because it's a sensitive topic.
It is, and I'm between two groups right now fighting it out on that. So
there are very clear ways where the state has benefited from and will benefit from the federal dollars coming in and supplementing, but there is some real angst about whether it was bailed out or not. And of course, federal guidelines were not to bail out the states. But
right. Literally says that.
Yeah. So it's been a very positive thing in many ways for the state, but we're not out of the woods on the issues we have.
Right. So let's look real quickly at, I'm not sure I can read these.
I bring in some interesting items on your text line.
It was from the earlier portion of the conversation. Thanks, Tom, for all of you do us here in Southern Illinois. Thanks, buddy. Walter from Carbondale says, kudos and thank you. Jeff, my old general manager from when I was in rock radio, says, like a dog with a bone. Know you. Nice work, amigo. Thank you. You don't play darts very well, Jeff. The governor's office is listening because they are big brother, not because they are concerned with their people. I roll. Willie, Tom Miller, Mover Shaker, Southern Illinois. I thought that said you old hack. It says, heck, we have listeners known this for years. Thank you. Have you heard any more crime in the communities that have a dispensary? That's an interesting question.
Crime is up everywhere. Violent crime is up everywhere. We're seeing that in in small communities, and in large communities, it's an issue. I was talking with the mayors of Rockford and Peoria the other day, also Decatur. And of course, there were some reports from Carbondale earlier, but Springfield, Quincy, Bloomington.
I talked to Lori about that, the owner of the location, and how that was handled by PD. And she listens, with the security precautions that are in place in the state of Illinois, I almost felt sorry for them.
Yeah.
Because they were caught. It was done. Yeah. Everybody was watching. Like, and I get it.
Yeah. So it's happening, but they're on top of that.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Thank you. Same to you, and Happy New Year.
I really do appreciate those comments you brought to my attention from Senator Durbin. That means a lot to me.
And obviously your listeners do, too.
Well, that's like Christmas to me. It really is.
And I won't get you a present then.
No, you don't need to. Brad always sends me the best cards anyway. It's 844. They're all historical photographs of Carbondale, which
that's
are cool.
Right.
Right? 844 News Radio, WJPF.